Good evening and welcome to KEOS Review. I'm Jay Brakefield. All right, well, we have last night there was a pretty interesting, in fact, a very interesting Bryan City Council meeting. There was an overflow crowd to talk about an issue that has become quite contentious in the community, the business of whether there'll be a charter amendment to change the way that people vote in Bryan. There's a group that's proposing that we open it up to let everybody vote, even for those who represent a specific district. And Councilman Al Sines and Rafael Pena are here, along with Karen Hall. Now, we did contact folks from the other side of this issue, and none of them were able to be here tonight. Nancy Hardiman, who spoke on the spoke at the meeting last night, was not able to be here. She is at home taking care of her husband Ben, who I believe at one time was on the Bryan City Council. Isn't that right? And he apparently fell Sunday and hurt himself pretty bad. Doesn't sound like there's any serious or long, you know, life-threatening or crippling injuries, but she said right now he's not able to get out of bed, so she's home taking care of him. But she did email me a statement, and she said, here's a slightly modified version of the speech I gave last night, and I'm just going to read it. It's not that long. When the Partners for a Better Bryan began the idea of petitioning for a change in the way in which council members were elected, our goal was to make each council member accountable to the entire city of Bryan and not just his or her district. Since Mr. Pena stated that he would not vote for anything that did not benefit his district and started his career on the council by demanding that the city fill all the items in his wish list this year, it became obvious to us that action was needed. But just because you don't like an individual's actions does not mean that you don't like their race. There are people of all races whose actions we don't particularly like. That doesn't make us racists. However, when Robert Borden of the Eagle and former council member Mike Sutherland immediately played the race card, the discussion turned into something ugly and mean. The focus came off of the idea of improving the situation in Districts 1 and 2, and in fact all districts, and allowed these angry and disgruntled people to express their dislike for the city of Bryan and everyone who represents it. This effort was never intended to disenfranchise anyone, and there is no basis for construing this effort as either a racial or ethnic issue. We are very respectful of the dozens of previous minority council members and what they have done for our city. However, we are appalled that the council members from Districts 1 and 2 have denigrated their predecessors and allowed others to do so in their name. Editorial comments on the Eagle and in guest editorials have ridiculed and insulted minority council members whose service has led to much of the good work that has been done in their districts. They deserve an apology from the Eagle and Robert Borden, from Dr. Peter Witt, who has probably never met any of the people he was maligning, and from Sines, Pena, and Mike Sutherland. City council members are elected to serve the city, to make financial decisions, and to consider long-term plans that they may not be in office long enough to see come to fruition. To be a good council member, he or she needs to have maturity, work experience, good judgment, and the ability to work well with others. It has nothing to do with race and ethnicity and everything to do with being willing to realize that the sandbox does not belong to you. That's why we ask the council to remove this petition from the agenda for the time being. They do not need to take the brunt of this manufactured storm because they were trying to treat our group in the same way they treated the group that Pena and Sines support. We are going to continue gathering signatures, but our effort in gathering these signatures will be dependent upon the willingness of the council members from Districts 1 and 2 to work along with the others who were also elected to their positions. Our city's future is much too important for you to refuse to work together. So, that's a lot of stuff to take in, and again, I regret that Nancy Hardiman and Bobby Gutierrez and other folks, and I also reached out to Mayor Bayinski, but this was all on short notice, and I understand people have other commitments, so they were not able to be here. But Councilman Sines and Pena and Karen Hall. Now you're kind of on the other side of this issue. What and obviously your interpretation of these matters differs considerably from the folks with Partners for a Better Bryan. So let's start with the business of race and ethnicity. Nancy Hardeman and Bobby Gutierrez, whom I also spoke to this afternoon, are saying that this has nothing to do with race or ethnicity and that they feel like they've been accused of being racist. I don't know if anybody really called them that. But in what way is this issue related to race or ethnicity?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I hope that former Councilman Ben Hardeman has a fast and quick recovery, and I look forward to seeing him back on the downtown streets of downtown Bryan. He does a lot of things to better the downtown business district, and I look forward to seeing him well and doing good. But as far as the race and ethnicity question, I don't know that it was a race and ethnicity question directly, but they should have taken into consideration the people that their charter amendment would mostly affect, which were going to be Hispanics and African Americans. So where it may not have been a direct attack on the majority of the voters in those two districts, it was going to affect them the most. Mm-hmm. And so it was just maybe an oversight on their part.
Well, as I understand it, what they want to do with this proposal is to have everybody vote, everybody in the city vote for all the candidates, even those who represent a single member district. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies. When you have community members and residents in the district they live in elect their representatives, it's like a slap in the face and saying that they don't know who they're electing. They didn't elect the right candidate.
And Councilman Pena, just to be clear, now your district is the north side of Bryan, the one that used to be represented by Paul Madison, is that right?
Yes, sir. Everything north of Highway 21 and MLK. And on downtown Bryan, when you get to the Ice House is in my district. Everything south of that is in Al's district.
Okay. So you're District 1 or 2?
I'm District 2.
And Al's in District 1.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, do you – and What was your take on the meeting last night? There was quite a crowd there. I didn't get a good count because the chamber was full and the lobby was full. I'd figure maybe, what, a couple of hundred people?
Yeah, like at least a couple of hundred people. You couldn't – every seat was taken up and people were standing in the hallways. You had to literally move people aside to get through all the – commotion of the people, and I think that showed a lot of what the community is about, and they knew who they voted for. They know how to vote, and they're fundamentally against this.
Well, what about their argument that a small number of people in these districts, maybe just a couple of hundred, end up electing a council person who represents a district, whereas some of the other more white or more affluent districts would have a much higher voter turnout?
I'll take that question.
Okay.
Because I do have a very strong opinion on that. The number of people who vote are the number of people who vote. They get to choose their district. I thought it was well brought out that if you go to Utah, only 500,000 people vote, but they still have two senators who have equal weight, which is the argument they use, that not enough people vote. So Councilman Payne and Councilman Sine should not have equal weight with districts 3 or 4 where more people are voting. Well, in Texas, we have 6 million people vote, or 7 million. Utah has 500,000. So therefore, we should elect the senators from Utah because it's the same logic. They
right.
don't have the numbers of votes that we have here. The people in the district ought to be able to elect their own representative. That is so, so core to democracy.
Well, another argument I've heard, both from talking to these folks in person and in some of the written material I've seen, is that most of the folks who have spoken to them about this issue, and most of the ones who were at the meeting last night and spoke, I believe there were 19 people and 18 of them spoke against the idea. I think Nancy Hardeman was the only one who spoke for it. But their contention is that virtually all the people who were at the speaking in the meeting last night didn't live in District 1 or 2.
I don't know that would be entirely true. It's probably what they wish were the case, but a lot of people who spoke, I know, live in Districts 1 or 2.
And I think just the amount of people who weren't from District 2 just goes to show that this not only affects Districts 1 and 2, but it affects the entire city. And we have the entire city behind us on this issue when it comes to going back to at-large voting.
And I'd also like to say that just because a council member doesn't receive the amount of votes that another councilman would on the other side of town, it in no way reflects on that councilman's ability to lead and to make decisions. It's a specious argument, and I think that they had a hard time trying to convince the overall general populace in the city of Bryan that their argument had merit.
Well, and it may be that there are folks in other districts who feel that this is an important issue, whether it directly affects them or not. Although, as you say, everything that happens anywhere in the city affects everybody in
Absolutely.
The city in one way or mm-hmm. another.
Absolutely.
So what about the – now, another – another thing that, another aspect of that was not brought up so much in the meeting, but in some discussions after the meeting, was the idea that the low minority turnout in the past has resulted at least in part from the fact that those folks did not feel that their participation would bear any fruit. Do you think that's a valid argument?
Absolutely. A lot of the residents I spoke to, who I'm personally housed, I've walked to, walked, they feel that their voice doesn't have much effect because of previous representation on council. So I say that I understand where you're coming from, but understand that I'm not previous representation. I'm Rafael Pena. I'm the new guy, and I'm willing to work for you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here at your front door. That was unheard of. Just to go to their front door and ask them, what do they think? They were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say because they were surprised that they got that question asked. And I think it just goes a long way to show how previous representation was in the community.
And let me also add that while Councilman Pena and I were working hard on another issue in the city of Bryan, we often went to houses together. Mm-hmm. And one of the funnest questions that I like to ask the people at the house was that, how many times have you had two Bryan City Council members come to your house? And to the person, they say, I've never had two council members come to my house, much less one.
So what are some of the issues that residents of these neighborhoods are raising? I know I heard some discussion last night of a new pool for Sadie Dumas Park, a pool there was closed years ago, some issues with streets and lighting and other types of infrastructure issues.
Absolutely. O'Hearn Road is a narrow two-lane road without any sidewalks. It has steep gutters on both sides of the street. And you have a school, Bonham School, and you have a big grocery store, HEB. And this has high traffic volume. A lot of kids walk with their parents, with their babies, kids trying to go to school. And they have to walk in the ditch when cars are passing by, especially when it's raining. Or Woodville Road is another narrow two-lane road. And also, there's a pool in Sadie Thomas Park that's been closed for a number of years. And the reason that they said it was closed down from the city was because there was low turnout. But in actuality, the fuel pump was not working and it wasn't filtration the water correctly. And you're not going to bring your kids to a pool that's not being cleaned out properly. You're just not going to do that. And on top of that, there's a park in District 2, and it's Scurry Park. On Easter, every year, it's like a hotspot for police. They know it's going to be overcrowded because of the lack of parking. There's like 8 spots, and the residents have to park along the street. So a group of police officers come by and they just issue tickets. Now, how would you feel on a Sunday afternoon coming to have time with your family and going back to your car to have a citation, and you're just enjoying the parks? And so there needs to be more parking in the parks, and there's to be better lighting in the district, and these narrow two-lane roads, we need sidewalks.
Well, do you sense that, in talking to people, particularly after the meeting, I kind of got the sense that a lot of the folks in those districts kind of are beginning to experience more of a feeling of hope that they'll be listened to, and that that could possibly translate into higher voter turnout.
I think that's exactly what you saw at the meeting, that this went on the agenda on Thursday. So there was about 72 hours for people to pass the word by phone or whatever, and they came. And now, for I think we can expect more turnout at the polls as the voices are heard, as things occur. There's a reason to go to the polls. There's a reason to go and express who you want to be your representative. I saw a lot of hope of just people, they came. They came because they felt they were going to be heard. For once, they were going to be heard.
Well, and you know, not to dwell overly on the past, but I think like a lot of places in Texas and the South in general, you know, there is quite a history of racial and ethnic discrimination here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that you have to beat people over the head with, but I got the impression in talking to these folks that, and particularly in some of the remarks that were made at the meeting last night, several of the African-American folks in particular were saying, you know, you're trying to take us back to the early 1960s, before single-member districts, before voting rights, and go back to a time when basically if you were black or brown, you were just going to be ignored.
I agree with you. And this is an issue that I think the distributors of that one petition did not take into consideration, that the minority community, particularly the African-American community, I mean, this is something that that they feel as if they're still trying to get over, that they live the reason why we do have these laws in place. And so for someone, anyone, whoever it may be, to threaten that ability to represent themselves, to in any way threaten their ability to vote on who they choose to vote on, they were not going to sit still, stand still, and allow this city to go back in time. And so I think that's what we saw last night, a mobilization of the local minority communities, particularly the African-American community, that they came out and they are, the city's better for it, actually. The city's better for having this discussion because where there's this type of an in-depth discussion and people understand better where they're coming from, well, then we know now that this is probably a bad idea to even consider in the future or even consider signing the petition that they are circulating if they want to do that. It's not a good idea.
And as I understand it now, this was pulled from the agenda at the beginning of last night's meeting, but folks were able to go ahead and use their microphone time to talk about it, and a number of them did. But I guess the other issue is, do you think that this is at all related or connected or a reaction to the petition that Karen, you and your group have been circulating about the ethics procedure or the ethics measure that you want put in place?
I would like to believe that it is not, that this one is basically just ill-conceived. I've met the Hardemans, and I feel that they did not think it through. I don't think they thought that this would have the reaction that it is having. But you can't take out districts 1 and 2 and say let the whole city vote on them and not have people feel disenfranchised. And I'm hoping that they'll think just a little bit more about it. But I'd like to believe that it is not a retaliation. Ours has nothing to do with that. It is simply a matter of getting some ethics policies in place and not anything against this council. This is, our city is growing, and it's time to put this in place. That's all. For future councils to just have some guidelines.
And you've turned in your petition, and you exceeded the required number of signatures, right?
We did. We've got over 350 extra. We needed around 1,400, and we turned in just shy of 1,800. So just that's because there's no way you can handle that many numbers and names and not have some errors in there.
And what you want to do is put this on the ballot in November, is that right?
Yes, it will be. If it is found sufficient by the city secretary, it will be by law on the ballot in November.
And if the folks circulating the other petition are successful in attaining the number of signatures that they want, then that one will be on the ballot, right?
Right. all right, we no longer have to go through the justice looking at it. Although the Justice Department still has the right to look at it, it doesn't have to go to the Department of Justice in Washington.
And there has been, I believe there has been some comments from folks who are, James Harrington, is it? Is he head of the Civil Liberties Union in Texas?
No, we have not heard. It's the, yeah, that's right. You're correct. Texas Civil Liberties Union.
Didn't he say that if this passed, there'd definitely be a lawsuit?
Those are his words. They are. We have not yet heard from the ACLU. We're still waiting to hear theirs. And the NAACP is taking a good hard look at it also.
What about the fact that College Station does not have single member districts? Some of the folks with the organization Partners for a Better Bryan have raised that point that in College Station everybody votes for all the council members, and they have minorities over there, too.
I think that's a little almost like sour grapes. To throw College Station under the bus when they were never part of the argument, to bring them in to this argument, the citizens feel that they're not being represented well, then they can obviously come to their leaders and ask to change it. But that hasn't been done, so I can't speak for the citizens, so I don't know if they're okay with it, if they're not okay with it. But the citizens in Bryan have adamantly said that they do not want this to go back to the way it was.
Do you have any idea how many signatures the Partners for a Better Bryan have at this point?
I got a clue.
I don't have a clue.
But it's very difficult. Each one of us know that it's very difficult to raise that amount of signatures in a short amount of time.
Yeah, you really
but
got
if
it.
I could say, Jim Harrington is not with the ACLU. He's with the Texas
Civil Liberties Union.
It's not Civil Liberties. It's Texas Fair Project or something
to
that effect.
Okay, I couldn't remember the name of the organization.
But also to bring College Station into the conversation, Bryan is an older city than College Station, and it had a more vast minority community.
Right.
Whereas Bryan is more heterogeneous, College Station is more homogeneous. Mm-hmm. And so there weren't the issues of different communities that in College Station that they have in Bryan. So that's another reason why it was such a good idea to bring in single member districts to the city of Bryan.
When did we get single member districts?
In 1994. Yeah.
So this is a reasonably recent development.
Well, it's 20 years. 20 years.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting to the age where 20 years doesn't seem as long as it used to.
but it was also long overdue then. So
right. Well, let me raise one more thing, and because this is something that I don't believe Nancy Hardeman raised it last night, but she and other members of this group have raised it in the past, saying that they felt. Mr. Pena, you had a string of small, minor municipal violations like no driver's license, illegal dumping, and so forth. And their statement is that none of these would be significant in and of itself, but the fact that there were, I believe, 11 of them in 4 years would cast doubt upon your qualifications to be a council member. How do you respond to that?
Well, let me respond first.
How many years ago was that?
Yeah, I think we all have a citation or two on our record that we're not proud of when we were younger, but none of it really rose to the level of being overly concerned with what was introduced on his record, and I think one of them is probably nothing more than a high school prank against the rival school in the town. You know, mm-hmm. It's nothing more than. Maybe taking the other school's mascot or wrapping it the school in toilet paper. And so the reason why it really didn't take hold because there was nothing there. And it was just a misguided, feeble attempt to try to sling mud, but it didn't stick. There's no validity to it.
And there go my opponents throwing rocks at me again. It didn't matter before, and it doesn't matter now.
Okay. Well, again, you know, it's not me saying this. It's... you know, it's what they came up with, and you know, it's unpleasant, but you know, we have to address these issues as they come up.
If I could say one more thing about that,
sure.
Is that now that they've given Mr. Pena a a thorough examination, I think that we can conclude that he has a clean bill of health when it comes to looking into his record.
You know, kind of like the politician who'd been in the insane asylum, and when he was released, he said, "I've got a certificate that says I'm sane." How many people have got that?
There you go.
Well, I really appreciate all of you being here and discussing this. We did have a call, and I don't know if it was somebody calling in about this particular issue. I want to apologize. We are kind of in the position here of really ramping up our coverage of community issues and trying to be more of a community voice. And at this point, we're not really set up to take calls to put people on the air. That involves a little bit of screening and a delay and so forth. And frankly, we're just not quite there yet. So if you call to talk to us and we're not able to do so, my apologies. Feel free to call again and leave a message or send us an email at our website, KUS.org. And, you know, this is, you know, when I talked to Mayor Bianski today, he said, you know, is this your only time to discuss this issue or will it be back? And I said, well, I'm not sure, but I don't think it's going away. It's, you know, it's something that's going to concern people, and it's probably going to be around for a while. So, you know, maybe sometime in the future we'll revisit it, particularly if, you know, if the Partners for a Better Bryan succeed in gathering enough signatures to, you know, to get this on the ballot, then there'll be a whole other twist to it. So anything to add from any of you?
I just want to end off with the Park and Rec meetings on July 15th. And if we can get as much people there as we did last meeting, I think it shows that when a group of concerned residents come together, change can happen. And that's what happened last night. And the charter petition got pulled. Now, the next thing is the town hall meeting, African American Museum at 6 p.m. on July 31st. I have one every month, and I encourage any and everybody to go out there. And not only District 2 residents are welcome, but Districts 3, 4, and 5. And it just goes to show that we work with the entire community. And to just highlight, I'm going to be giving a check to the museum. And if a lot of people want to show up, I think that would be very, very, very awesome to have your support.
You said 2...
How about
four,
one?
How about one? Can District 1 residents show up to your town hall meeting?
I don't know. Yeah. District 1 residents are welcome as well.
I just want to say a couple of things. That my town hall meeting is going to be at the Clara B. Mounts Library on August the 6th, which is Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
But just the final word on the issue that we discussed pertaining to last night. You know, there was a lot of community support there. And I want to use the enthusiasm and the camaraderie, if you will, or just the agreement amongst all the council members that we were united in pulling that item from the agenda. And the I want to take advantage of the unity that council exhibited last night and just use it as a springboard to do better things for the entire city. If we can come together like a lot of people did last night, then I think the city has a brighter future. And I look forward to working with all the citizens and all the councilmen on more projects.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And we will be back in a few minutes with our one more thing.
Well, I'll just take a final moment to add something to Councilman Pena. He did not mention that it would be on the Parks and Rec is the 15th, 6 p.m., and it'll be at City Hall. And it's not where they normally meet, so this is a little bit different. They're going to be meeting at the Bryan City Hall at 6 p.m. on July 15th.
In the council chambers, or do they meet in a different room?
I don't know.
Council chambers.
Okay.
Jay, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having
you
us,
bet.
Jay.
I think it was a kind of a display of democracy in action last night.
Really,
it's always, you know, whatever side of the issue you're on, it's interesting to see people turn out and speak so passionately and eloquently about something that concerned everybody. And you know, this is a great community. I've lived here for almost 10 years. And really like it, have been really happy here. And, you know, as such, as a resident, I have a lot of concern about all these things, as well as just being, you know, the guy who interviews people on the radio. I mean, you know, I drive on the streets and pay taxes just like everybody else. And I think, you know, it's really instructive to get out and hear what people have to say. and without attacking anybody, you know, the Eagle covered it and did a good story. But, you know, sometimes you have to be there. You know, it's awful hard in a newspaper article to capture the feeling of an event. And, you know, being there and seeing the folks, you know, fired up and enthusiastic, passionate about an issue is really, really pretty inspiring. And I hope that, you know, I hope that'll continue. So thank you very much.